ACCA, the world's most forward-thinking professional accountancy body.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Student Accountant podcast series. I am here with my special guest today, which is James Harmer from the Cambridge Design Consultancy. Hello, James.
Hi. Lovely to meet you. Great to be here.
I think it's actually Cambridge Design Partnership, isn't it?
That is correct. I wasn't going to correct you straight off. I was going to slide it in there somehow.
I like to get these things right. And it sounded wrong when I said it out loud. And then
you got it. You hit it. Cambridge Design Partnership. That's us.
So are you a founding member? Like, what's your role in Cambridge Design Partnership?
Oh, I wish I was a founding member. The company's doing incredibly well at the moment. My role is the planning and innovation strategy leader. So as part of what we do at Cambridge Design Partnership, which has a kind of bias toward design and engineering in particular, I work at the kind of what we call the front end of innovation in terms of insight and strategy, where we're starting to really define what is the problem to be solved. So if someone comes to us with a challenge on, you know, how to get some sort of a medical device into a patient, you know, what's the right way to design it for, you know, the maximum level of efficacy and comfort, or how would we put packaging together that is going to be, you know, biodegradable and future proof for, you know, someone making chocolates. I mean, literally, it is a very, very diverse group in terms of what we cover. And we cover, you know, mostly pretty much all industries, sectors, across loads of different sort of organizations that would come to us. You know, like I said before, people that might be developing things that are, you know, specific to the kind of goods you would buy in the supermarket, all the way through to people that are trying to make surgical robots. So, yeah, that gives a very, very quick overshot of the kind of work that we do.
So do people only come to you when they've got an established product, they're having a problem with it? Or do people sometimes come to you from the start saying, I've got this idea for something and I don't know how to do it, can you help?
It really does vary. And you've hit the nail on the head, really. It's not an either or, it's both. We have a lot of people that come to us with some very early thinking on, you know, what they would like to try and do in terms of solving a challenge within their industry. Obviously a commercial opportunity that they've recognized. You know, we've even worked with small startups in the past where, you know, we just think the quality of the idea is really great and we want to help them, you know, get something to market. It's rare, but it does happen. One of the beauties of it is, you know, as an organization, we are still totally independent. We've not been bought by anyone. Three founders originally just decided that they obviously were in love with the idea of solving problems, making things, mechanical engineers, and they've stayed independent ever since. So because of that, we have the ability to kind of work with who we want on whatever sorts of projects we like. And I think that's one of the things that makes it a really vibrant, exciting place to work. We're not, you know, corporate, although we have got that many people working in the organization. We're still very agile and we still just get to do the things that we love getting up out of bed, you know, to do. And sustainability, obviously, is a key aspect of all of the things that we're going to be making in future.
Yeah, okay. So let's look at that a little bit closer. So it's great that you've got such a wide vantage point across so many different industries. So I'm curious, with that perspective, what are the big changes that you can see occurring across all the major industries with regard to sustainability, say?
There are so many changes. I think one of the things that's particularly interesting, maybe for your listenership on this podcast, when we think about investment for the future and how we're going to source change, you know, we are sitting at the cusp of a very dynamic future. I think a lot of people are listening to the radio at the moment. Certainly young people, my kids as well. I've got three teenagers, and it can just feel like the kind of the world's crumbling, and there's lots of kind of horrific stories about climate change and where things are headed. And there is all of that to contend with. I don't want to belittle those things. They're really important. But there's also the opportunity for us to grasp the nettle now we've still got the opportunity to make change happen. And in making change happen, we have the opportunity to move our businesses in the right direction, move our industries in the right direction. It's going to be painful. It's going to take a lot of investment. It's going to take a huge amount of visionary leadership. You know, people like Bill Gates and recent things that they've written and tried to kind of done in terms of thought leadership. You know, we know that the future is going to be challenging, but it could also be really bright. And there's lots of money on the table right now to start to make these changes happen. We've all been waiting for each other. We've all been waiting to see what our competitors are doing. And now I think there's just a recognition that we need to join forces across sectors, across businesses, to really combat climate change. It is the ultimate existential threat that faces all of us, no matter where we live in the world.
So the circular economy is something that I've heard a lot about in the sustainability manifestos of companies. Can you explain to us in simple terms what the circular economy is?
It's a great question, and there are so many different ways of defining it. But the definition that kind of works really well from my perspective is that we think about the economy differently. We think about an economy that uses things versus using things up. And that's moving us away from the kind of classic historical linear system that we've had, which is taking things, making things from those resources, and then disposing of them afterwards. So what we're trying to do in the circular economy is designing out waste really intentionally to ensure that we take far greater care and ultimately we're getting far greater value from the resources that we have. That's the circular economy.
Right. So, and for different companies, going circular is going to mean something different, right? It's not like a one size fits all solution.
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the things that as a consultancy, we're really trying to help our clients understand and kind of take them on the journey, because circularity is really important. There's no doubt about it. But it's all about the context that you find yourself in. So if you're in a certain manufacturing industry and you do things in a certain way, there has to be a long-term vision for how you might get to a cleaner way of manufacturing, a better way of producing, a different energy source. But in the meantime, you've got very expensive assets. You've got steel in the ground. You've got factories that are making things in a certain way already. And it doesn't mean that we can just instantly say, right, we need to become circular. We're going to start again. We actually need to really be thinking very wisely and very smartly about how to take existing assets, how to take existing industries and help them on a kind of step-by-step approach to get to a more circular situation. If all of a sudden we just rip up all of the existing assets, all of the factories that we've got for different manufacturing capability, we'll have to rebuild all that stuff. The carbon cost of just putting that together would be huge. And so it's all about doing things wisely, sensibly, quickly, but not having these kind of knee-jerk reactions to kind of what we're hearing on the news, making sure that we can do things for our business partners, our clients, in sensible ways to reach the long-term vision and goals without, you know, just ripping everything up and starting again.
And I mean, I suppose this is going to vary from industry to industry, but how much sway do you think consumers have over these kinds of changes? Because obviously, more people are concerned about climate change, are they really kind of voting with their wallets? And then is that driving changes?
I take a very optimistic view generally. I think if you're working in sustainability, you need to have a good balance of pessimism, but lots of optimism as well. I think people are voting with their wallets. And I think it is great that change is definitely kind of filtering through and that consumers, you know, we're seeing kind of really getting with the program, understanding that change has got to happen, really encouraging retailers, encouraging governments to move things forward. The problem that we've got is that there's a lot of people that just don't have the ability to vote with their wallets in the first place.
Yeah.
Because of that, you know, I think have to take some decisions as we start to think about our futures in terms of companies and industries that are going to make sure that we're not just kind of leveling up in our own kind of Western culture, but we're also really helping you know, partners, suppliers, people down the supply chain in developing countries, developing markets. There have been, you know, hugely momentous steps forward by some of the clients that we've been involved with who are doing this off the back of, you know, not just the commercial aspect, but recognizing that they need to be more philanthropical and do things in a way that does, you know, set things up for a successful future. But even if those companies are few and far between, there's a recognition by the companies that maybe have been on the back burner and have been waiting to see where things are going, that actually now they are going to have to accelerate into this, because their shareholders, their investors, you know, the people that have ultimately put a lot of money into a company that might have a certain footprint and a way of doing things now, they need to be thinking about what that looks like for the shareholders and investors in 10, 15, 20 years' time, when the sorts of services they're providing or the products they're providing are just no longer relevant or no longer viable. So innovation is critical, because we need to be thinking with people now, not just in R&D departments or in marketing departments. We need to be thinking with people around the table from finance in particular about what you're going to invest in now to be relevant in 15 to 20 years' time. And the kind of investments that we're talking about are really big investments, because it requires, you know, if change of the scale that we're talking is going to happen, it means companies are going to have to put their hand in their pocket, think about how they're going to be using their profits and their dividends to set themselves and their shareholders up for success in sort of 20 or 30 years' time, versus literally just unfortunately going off a cliff edge when there isn't the resources that we need, or there isn't the consumer pull that there was before.
So in terms, I was thinking about for finance professionals specifically, what are the things do you think that they're going to have to think about in order to be ready for the future? Is it really about thinking how the industries are going to change and therefore how we're going to make investments differently?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a really hot topic, and it's something that we can't really do justice to on the podcast, because we could get into a huge amount of detail and we don't have time to. But I think, you know, top level would be thinking about, you know, what are the things that you're investing in now? What are the things that have been put on the table in terms of the changes and the commitments that the companies that you're working for, or maybe that you will be working for in the future, have made? If you're a protagonist and if you're a champion for the environment, for sustainability, you know, what role can you have in this? And I think it's on all of us to be the voice of reason and to be the voice of change in our companies. But obviously we need to do it with a business hat on. And so being able to have these informed conversations about where the investments are now, where the investments should be in future, getting ahead of the curve, getting ahead of the competition, they're obviously really important conversations to have right now. One of the other things that I think is a really good option for people in terms of, you talked about voting with their wallets, you know, how people's pensions are structured and what those pension typologies are invested into is a really good way for you to actually be able to sort of say, look, I know my money's being used to invest in the brown economy, in some of the old ways, in oil. Actually, I could put my pension pot, even though you're at the beginning of your career, I can put my pension pot into, you know, the green economy, into green funds, and make sure that there's more investment into those things and start to divest from the old stuff. We can vote with our money. It's our investment. If you get involved in where your pension's going, then you can actually have a huge impact in terms of putting, you know, money into the sorts of industries that need the investment.
And do you think, you know, if you're just starting out, you can still have an impact on your organisation, or that things that you can do even when you're sort of in the lower echelons of the hierarchy to kind of bring about a change in the organisation?
Yeah, I mean, we're a good example, I think, of that. You know, the majority of, I don't know what the average age is of Cambridge Design Partnership, and I'll be very honest with you, at my ripe old age of 45, I feel like I'm one of the ones on the Zimmer frame already. There are so many young, bright, sparky people that are coming through the organisation, and it's fantastic. It's an education for me. Every time I work with some of the more junior consultants, they come with ideas, they challenge my ideas, they've just got a different way of thinking about things, and their voices really need to be heard, because it's their future that we're designing for, that we're innovating for. And I'm really keen to make sure that people's anxieties, people's desires, people's motivations are put on the table, because it's their children's future and their grandchildren's future, as well as mine, that we're going to be designing for and thinking about. So having a voice and being able to have a credible voice as well, you know, doing your homework, looking at this challenge from all sorts of different sides, not just taking the kind of popular aspect of what you might read on the news, or, you know, what you might read on a blog from someone who's posting about sustainability, but really getting to grips with the multidimensional nature of what true sustainability looks like in a business context is going to be key.
That's actually really inspiring, I think, definitely for me, to think about, you know, there are companies out there, probably lots of companies, that have that approach, that attitude towards really mining the ideas and creativity of younger people, the younger generations. And so to have kind of confidence in that and making your voice heard, that's a really powerful message.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a voice we really need to hear.
Yeah. So that's a really good place to finish, I think. I just want to ask you finally, if there are any particular platforms or things that come to mind, or videos, anything you've watched, or any areas that you think this is a great place to keep refreshing your mind on this subject, or, you know, learn new things, anything that's come to your attention?
There are so many things, but I tell you what, I won't give you a list on the podcast. The one thing that I would definitely tune into, if you're into podcasts, is a podcast called Outrage and Optimism.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah,
it is just my go-to in terms of just keeping me feeling energized, keeping me feeling positive, but also really grappling with these big challenging issues. And they talk to experts across all of the sectors. They get people involved that are activists, but they actually get a lot of people involved who are also, you know, leading businesses, senior people. And it's really exciting to hear what they're doing and how they're making change happen. But they're also keeping in step with all the political changes, the policy changes. So they're able to give a really great top level overview. And as an hour sort of podcast every week, it's definitely a great one to dip into.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for joining us, James.
Lovely to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
This podcast was brought to you by ACCA. Find out how we think ahead at accaglobal.com.